Coping with change. There's constant change in our world. In this year, like no other, we've had to deal with the disruption and the uncertainty that have been brought on by the changes that the COVID-19 pandemic has brought into our lives. How do we learn to cope with these challenges, the challenges that change brings? And how, as parents and carers, do we support our child or young person to cope with change? I'm Rebecca Hill from Catholic Education in the Diocese of Wollongong, and I work in the area of parent-school partnerships. As our significant partners in education, we value and recognise the role that parents and carers play as the first educators of their child. In particular, during recent difficult months, we've been conscious of supporting parents and carers as they navigate the sometimes tricky world of parenting and supporting their child. This year, particularly, the disruption and change that we have seen has led to increased anxiety and grief for many, and particularly the students whose social and school life has been dramatically affected. So today, we'd like to provide our parents and carers with some tips or some strategies, some things for their parenting toolkit to assist them to help their child to cope with change and anxiety and the grief that that can bring. So to do this, Catholic Education has worked with our partner agency, Catholic Care. And today I'm joined by Matt Berry, a school counsellor from Catholic Care in the MacArthur, and Lisa Fitzgerald, the acting manager of Catholic Care's Families and Communities program. And they're going to guide us through some of the tips or strategies for parents, as well as some of the services that Catholic Care can assist with in this area. Welcome, Matt and Lisa, and thank you for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Before we get into the nitty-gritty, if you like, can you tell us what is Catholic Care? What does it do? What does it provide? And who can access it?
So Catholic Care's got a broad range of services. I'm still learning about lots of them today. So we've got a school counselling program. We service, I think it's 35 schools across MacArthur and Wollongong. We also have lots of group work programs which are run at Campbelltown and Wollongong offices, ranging from parent groups to anxiety groups.
So what are some of the services that Catholic Care provide that parents and carers of students in our schools could tap into?
So in our Families and Communities program, we have a counselling stream. So we've got experienced and qualified counsellors who can help in a range of situations. And we also now, thanks to COVID, although we were introducing it anyway, we do online sessions, which can make it a bit more accessible for parents especially. But we are also still doing face-to-face sessions, or we did have resumed them. And we have a number of groups, like Matt said, and we cover the MacArthur, Illawarra and Shoalhaven area. And we have groups around specifically reducing anxiety and building resilience, which really fits with what we're talking about today, as well as some programs specific to teenagers. And during the COVID period, we really wanted a quick way to support people during that big change that was happening, and we introduced some really quick webinars. They were live online mindfulness sessions, which did seem quite popular. So we're introducing that as a standalone group in 2021, and we will have a 6-week, 30-minute mindfulness session scheduled that anyone can access.
And Lisa, is the services, the counselling services of Catholic Care, open to everyone?
Yes, open to anyone. Anyone at all can access it. It's not a crisis service, but we do have counsellors trained in grief and loss, family and relationship difficulties, stress, anxiety, any kind of change in their situations, and they are trauma-informed counsellors. But anyone can access the service. Like Matt said, ring up our intake team and they'll be able to help with any questions. We also focus on our mission a lot, and so we heavily suggest to anyone wanting to access our service, especially parents, that they call and inquire, and we'll chat to them about those concerns, and we'll always do our best to find a way to make sure we can provide service and support that they're requiring.
That's great. So we'll get into some more details about just specifically this concept of coping with change. And as a parent or carer, we know it's difficult to know how to respond to your child or the young person in your life if they're going through heightened anxiety, struggling with change. And as a parent, I know you often want to take this away from them. But today we're going to talk about some of the strategies as a parent or carer that you can support your child to not only cope, but to build some resilience and some self-management skills as well. So I'll start, Matt, and you might be able to talk to us a bit about, if I'm a parent of a younger child in primary school, what's a good starting point for me in this broad scope of change and anxiety? What's a good place for me to think about where I can start doing some support?
I think if I really try to synthesize it and simplify it, is that you want to focus on what you can control in this dynamic. The second would be, which is the other thing that I'm really strong on, I've done a lot of studies in this myself at university, is that to leverage the difficult situation to facilitate and foster resilience. So you can do this by adopting a situational mindset of growth. And that's simply just using language that describes the pandemic as challenging, but also something that can be overcome as an individual, a family, and as a society as a whole. So just reminding them they're not alone in navigating that change.
So you talked about things we can control, and I assume there's things we can't control. We all know there is. Give a parent some idea, what are some of the things we can control or we can focus on that are things we feel we can control in our life?
The ones that I put down the key ones that I thought were really necessary for parents to hear. I think keeping regular routines and structures. Children, especially in their developmental stage, structure is so very important. It creates consistency and they know what to expect. Plenty of exercise and rest and eating healthily and role modelling that as well to your children. The other one I'd like to talk about is electronic devices and social media, because yes, I guess if everything else shut, it's natural for students to kind of gear towards using a lot of that. So supervising access, and one thing, an important reminder, is doing this early. So it's really hard to come back from, you know, you've given them all this autonomy and how they choose to play their games and then having to restrict that. So implementing those boundaries early. Communicating openly with your children, and consider the activities and outings you can do, and inviting them to choose some of them sometimes. It's always a lot easier to let your child kind of join in and let them suggest things that they want to do with you. I know I'm a parent myself, and sometimes I'll jump on, my son likes to do some gaming recently, and I'll jump on and play with him and spend time talking to him in his space where he feels comfortable.
Is that a good time as a parent to be talking as well as playing? Often I find with children, if he's just sitting beside them, is that a great opportunity for communication?
You're totally right there. Yeah, it's even I adopt that approach in counselling a lot of the time. You get people to do activities and they open up whilst they're doing them. So you're so right. I think it's a key thing to even adopt in our households, is talk while you're doing something.
Sometimes that front-to-front, like face-to-face, I mean, even as adults, that could be confronting, having a conversation, even if it's an easy one. So sometimes it is like just driving in the car, You know, all of those things, that they're actually more open to that conversation because they're not feeling like kind of you're right in there, in their face.
Or they can just listen if that's what they need to do.
The other thing is news. So I guess limiting the type of news that your child gets, you know, making sure it's age-appropriate, developmentally appropriate. I know I look at news sometimes, it's very scary watching some of the things that are going on, especially with the pandemic. So really monitoring what that it looks like for your child.
Yes, because that can build your anxiety just listening to continual numbers, and the media does tend to hype things up as well. So yeah, that's a good point. So there's some of the things we can control every day in our house or when we're with our child. What about the things we can't control? And we don't like this bit. None of us like this bit. And we certainly don't like it with our children. so what can't we control? And how does it help to recognise that?
I think the things that you can't control the actions or beliefs of others. You're not going to be able to control how long this pandemic's going to last, unfortunately. You can't control if others are following hygiene and physical distancing rules, but I guess on the other side of that, you can role model the right behaviour and what you want it to look like. And you can't stop change. Change is constant, it's inevitable and it's unavoidable, it's uncomfortable sometimes.
So why is it important as a parent that we support our child to adapt to change? Why is that an important skill throughout our whole life, even as adults?
Yeah, everyone handles change in very different ways. Like I said before, it's constant and it's unavoidable, but some change is exciting. It causes stress and it can be anxiety provoking, but most often it's a little of both all at the same time. So feelings such as fear, anxiety, they can be overwhelming for children, but this means we've got to learn and teach kids to respond in unique and creative ways to that change, because it's going to be something they're going to have to cope with through adulthood. So shifting it to building resilience is important.
And is it important to stress that change doesn't always have to be a bad thing or a negative thing? I mean, in the current climate with COVID, yes, there has been some negative things, but trying to see another side, is that a helpful
tactic? Absolutely. Shifting your mindset of what change looks like, it's sometimes it's something that we all need, whether it's enforced or not. I think adapting to what it looks like and coaching your children through how to meet change in an effective and supportive ways is very important. So I think one other thing I'd want to put out there is that every kid's going to react very differently to change. It's going to look very different. Some might not respond initially. There might be a bit of shock. It's all going to be very unique for our children. There's no map to what they look like. But yes, definitely having a positive mindset of what change looks like for your child is going to be super integral.
And your child will take the cues from the parent as to the response to changes?
Yeah, especially at that particular age, in terms of like co-regulation with your young people, it's those early primary school years, especially from years one, kindergarten to years four and five, they're essential years for a child. So yeah, they're going to really, if you're coping, they're going to be coping. If you're approaching change in an effective way, they're going to be doing the same. That role modelling, you know, that nature-nurture stuff, yeah, nurture is really essential in that developmental period.
I think for us too, running our parenting groups, that's really the basis of a lot of the groups we do, is trying to get the parents to understand their parenting style. It's really important that parents' main focus, it doesn't seem like it, but they really focus on themselves. So we'll often use the analogy in a group, you know, if an aeroplane mask's dropped, who takes the first breath? And parents always, oh, I've got to give it to my kids. And it's quite confronting for some of them when we say, actually, you need to take that breath so that you can be there to support your child through that. So my advice for parents would really be to, like we've said, they're so busy, there's so much on, and that's the first thing we can forget about is looking after ourselves. But it is the most important, because if we're looking after ourselves, we can be more of a support to those around us. It's hard enough for kids to manage with change and emotions, and it's hard enough for parents most of the time as well. So if we kind of have an understanding of how we respond to anxiety and change, then we have a better way to support our kids with that. And I think what Matt said is really important to remember is every kid or child responds differently. So like Matt, I've got two boys and they're completely different. So it's not just about, you know, every kid in the school or in family, other families, it's your own children. So you've got to kind of, you can't just always have one approach for each child. So it's so hard to manage parenting. That's an exciting challenge, but often a really hard
one. Very tricky one some days.
That's right. And so if parents have that support and understanding in themselves, then they'll feel more confident to be able to support their children in that.
And the Families and Communities program, so it would offer, what are some of the courses it would offer there if I was a parent wanting to upskill myself, if you like? Because we think, you know, parenting doesn't come with a manual, and so then you get a pandemic thrown in, and you don't really know what you're doing. So, what are some of the what could you tap into at Catholic Care that might help with that?
Yeah, so we have one specifically. We introduced it I think last year, so it's relatively new, and it's a program focusing on reducing anxiety and building resilience, and it's called No Scaredy Cats. Mm-hmm. It was developed by Parent Shop, and it's focusing on how parents can understand a child's anxiety. It talks a little bit about the brain and how anxiety impacts the brain, and then the flow on effect to behaviours and emotions in children. So if we kind of get that understanding, it helps us deal with the actual behaviours being displayed. So and it talks a little bit about some strategies we can put in place, and I think, like Matt said, it's really about a mindset. So helping our kids understand anxiety isn't necessarily a bad thing either. You know, it can push us to go outside our comfort zone and you know, make us change and grow. It's how we can deal with that and help have enough resilience to manage that anxiety in a positive way. So that's definitely a course that parents could attend. In terms of teenagers, we have a program called Bringing Up Great Teens.
Okay.
And very similar, it talks a lot about the brain. You know, when we look at a teenager, obviously a lot of the time these days they look like an adult, so we feel like we're just kind of talking to, you know, sometimes they're bigger than us, they're louder than us, but the brain's actually not fully developed yet, and so we've got to stop and remember that their brain's not at a functioning capacity as an adult, and so it gives a bit of insight into that and the changes teenagers will go through, all of those fun hormonal stages and all of that, and it will help you get a better connection and understanding through those teenage years.
That sounds great. And we will focus in a little while on the young people, the teenagers in our life. Matt, I just wanted to come back to, if I'm a parent of a child, a younger child, what are some of the signs that my child may not be coping?
These ones are quite broad, so I would say them with kind of an edge of caution, in that, you know, your son or daughter might experiencing one of these kind of symptoms, and they might not necessarily be that, might not be something to worry about, but if it was something that was consistent and there was a multiple at the one time, then I'd start to be thinking about how I can link them in. So difficulties in sleeping, shifts in mood, so, you know, being irritable, angry, frustrated, feeling numb, but I guess, again, in that being those consistent and repeatedly happening over, you know, a course of a couple of weeks. You know, preoccupation with death or suicidal thoughts, and that's something that can really scare parents going into that space and talking about it. But I would encourage parents to keep checking on their children and asking those difficult questions. So withdrawal and isolation from normal activities. You know, my son, if your son doesn't want to go to soccer, he's not want to, doesn't want to hang out with his peers, doesn't want to answer his phone calls with his friends. General anxiety symptoms, which can range. They can be psychosomatic symptoms, you know, headaches, sore stomach, you know, numbness in the fingers, things like that. Unexplained crying. And one of the things I'd say is that you're a parent, you're an expert in your child, so really trust your gut. Like, if you notice behavioural changes and they're not a one-time issue, take note. It's, you know, it's a perfectly normal for adolescents, primary school students to experience ups and downs. But yeah, if there's a persistent pattern of negative behaviour, it's probably an indicator that your child might need some additional support, or you might need some support in assisting them.
If as a parent I felt that my child was at that crisis stage, and, you know, we could go to a Catholic care or something, but I might not be able to do that till a Monday morning, what are some of the options for parents in that space?
There's actually some really great options in New South Wales. We're really lucky in that we've got the Kids Helpline. We have Lifeline. So these are both 24-hour services that students can call. That parents can even call for advice. You've got the New South Wales Mental Health Access Line. You also got Parentline, which is available from, I think it's 9 till 9, and that's just for general advice. They give referral pathways. So if you're having any immediate concerns, that they would be something I would go to. If there's, in terms of them saying that they've got an active plan and they want to harm themselves, then I'd...
Real crisis.
My suggestion would be go straight to the emergency room, because they'll link you with mental health support and kind of start coordinating from that space.
And if in doubt, it's best to check in, talk to someone?
Totally. I know it's really hard being vulnerable. I think as adults, we kind of lose that, but we're asking our kids to do that. I think we've got a role model that it's okay to talk about these things. and encourage spaces for vulnerability, because at this particular time, it's probably what we need to be able to do with each other. So I know it's scary. I always am very, I'm taken back when I have a young person in the room and they're so open and honest and they're vulnerable with me. I feel very privileged and to encourage that, especially right now.
So for the students in our schools, what options do they have within the school setting to help them with these, with their well-being? Matt, what are some of the services you provide in some of our schools?
Firstly, I've worked at lots of different schools, and I have to say, it's a bit of a plug about the Catholic Education Office, but at most schools, the amount of service that a school will get in terms of counselling is, you're getting 10 days per fortnight at most high schools. You're getting, you know, in terms of the needs of primary schools, you might be getting 6 to 8. This is so unusual. Like, I think it's a bit of a progressive approach and a bit of a forward-thinking approach. I feel very privileged I can provide like a continuity of care for students and follow up on things as I need to. It's really easy to access your school counsellor. You know, it's a matter of, if you're over 14, you can self-refer. If you're under 14, it's a matter of your parents connecting with the pastoral team or a teacher at the school and just filling out a simple referral form, or even having a chat over the phone with the counsellor at the school. I know I have a lot of my new referrals are just a phone call with parents, inquiring about the service, what we do.
So that's a really good example of home and school working together. So if you think your child might have some need for some support, is contacting someone at the school a good starting point, and then they can refer to the counsellor as well?
Absolutely. A lot of our referrals are via pastoral coordinators who have connected with families and they've noticed shifts at school. Your school's a real primary point of care, so a trusted person at the school. Usually that would be a senior coordinator of one of the years, or in a primary school that would be a vice principal or a principal. They will be able to point you in the right direction, so I really would encourage parents, if they notice shifts like this, to reach out to them.
And that is an important aspect of a Catholic education, is that we're offering that support for the whole person, and that parents can access, as well as supporting their child's learning. This is another important aspect of their being, and we need to remember that. So it's important that parents feel they can contact school as well and talk with their child's teacher, and any referrals can be made from there.
It's unique in itself. I know, in terms of with parents' permission and the child's permissions, connecting with teachers, you get another source of information on how you can support a student. So it is, counselling at in a school space is very unique. You can do a lot of real positive work in the school.
Is there any cost to a parent if their child's accessing counselling?
Best thing about it, it's free. It's a free service.
So if your child's not accessing counselling, you can contact someone at the school and find out what the availability is.
Absolutely.
If you feel that would be helpful.
I'd encourage that as well. Even if you just, some of these phone calls might just be about strategies that the counsellor might provide to the parent in the home. They might recommend some T1 interventions first, and then say, look, we'll monitor this and then maybe progress to counselling. So it might not be a jump straight into counselling for a student, but it will definitely be, you know, start the conversation, start the support, building some support structures around that young person, because it's a big ask to ask a little fella to navigate all these things at the one time. They really need a bunch of support around them.
Yeah, and school can bring a perspective, and the parents can bring a different perspective, because we often see different things playing out at home and at school. So it's important that it's that sense of working together on that's really important for parents and for staff in our schools. So we've talked a little bit there about the little people. If I'm a parent of a teenager, that can be an interesting time in the easiest of situations. But this year it's probably been even more stressful, because a lot of our kids' social interactions dropped off, all of the things that come with going to school and going to work. So what are some of the things we might look out for in a teenage, if we had a teenager?
In terms of the things that you'd be looking out for, they'd be quite, in terms of presentations, it'd be quite similar to the primary school students in terms of some of those things we talked about earlier, you know, difficult sleeping, changes in mood, the psychosomatic symptoms and things like that. I think the one thing that I noticed that's very different from primary school students to teenagers is the shifts in communication when they're struggling. they usually tend to isolate themselves a lot quicker than a primary school student. The language that a primary school student uses in terms of their physicality and stuff, it's easier to notice when they're struggling. So that's why the biggest defense against, you know, your child becoming vulnerable and at risk of various mental health issues is to open communication up with your teenager.
Yeah.
So many times I get descriptions of them feeling isolated from their parents, and it's not because their parents don't care, because look, they're sending them to a great school.
They've
referred them to counselling. They care. It's just they haven't opened up an effective communication channel. That's communication with teenagers. You're going to need to press a little bit more to see how they're going. It's not going to be as simple with a primary school student.
Yeah. And is creating some time important for that? I know we're all busy, but sometimes you've got to force them off a device or off a computer so that you can have a conversation, even if it is in the car or even if it is... Is it important that we create some spaces for that?
Absolutely. I know parents have a lot of pressure on them. There's a lot of, in terms of work commitments, financial stress, but even if it's like an hour a week or 20 minutes while you're at dinner and, you know, you're going around the table and you're asking each other how you guys are going right now, it's it could be simple things like that that really do make a difference. Carving out spaces and doing things that your young person likes. It doesn't have to be, you don't have to direct what it looks like. It'll be a lot easier to create that space if, you know, you've given them that autonomy to choose what you do.
And showing an interest in them and what they're doing.
Yeah, I didn't like gaming at first, but gave it a crack. It's not too bad.
Better be careful, you'll be addicted.
That's right. We'll be getting you off your device, Matt. But in terms of older children, and this is even in younger ones, but for older children, we want to prepare them to go out there into the adult world. And some of the aspects of change and anxiety, how can we help them self-manage as well? You know, that it's not just a case of someone else can fix this for me. There are some things I can do for myself. What could we be telling our...
That's an awesome point. I was thinking about that just as we were speaking. It's that, it's not uncommon in high school to have friendship issues. It's one of the things sometimes I discuss, the conflicts at school. And as an example, you know, sometimes as a parent, it's really hard to see your child struggling through something. But resist the urge to jump in, coach them through managing it. And if there might be a time when you have to step in and, you know, talk to the school or, but give them the space to work these things out. They've progressed from childhood, so they've need to have, build these skills up. They're going to be things they need to utilize as they get older. So don't rescue your child. There might be a time when you need to, but you don't want to be doing it consistently, because then you build this real habitual pattern where you reduce their ability to cope with situations. So it's a real balancing act to working out when you should, but don't do it instantly.
That is our tendency as parents, because yes. We don't like to see our own child in distress. So I guess we walk this balancing act, if you like, of validating what they're feeling, but also trying to keep it in perspective.
Yeah, it's not dismissing what's going on for them, being present, you know, active listening, all those types of things that I know parents are trying desperately hard to do, and they've got their own stuff on, but just being present with their feelings, not discounting them. I even find a helpful thing is like using yourself as an example. Your child likes to see that you've done this stuff before, letting them know you've struggled. This is what's worked for me in the past. You know, I've tried this before. What do you think about trying this? Could this work for you? So I think sometimes that sharing is important as well.
Absolutely. And Lisa, we're talking a lot about, counselling with the child, and you can seek individual counselling. What are some of the programs that Catholic Care offers, the group programs, what benefit is there for our parents in that sort of group setting? Is there a learning from each other? Is that, you know, particularly at the moment when we're feeling quite isolated?
Yeah. So definitely, I mean, community service is a massive industry, and I wanted to work in this space, and group work was where I got my entry, and it's hard to know where you want to go because it's such a big field, and I'm so glad I fell into this space because group work is amazing and powerful, and quite often, you know, I'll facilitate a group, but the real change and learnings come from each member. And like Matt said before, you know, we'll start a group and yes, we know the content and information and we can share that, but the parents are the real experts in their lives and in their situations. So, you know, we can't give specific advice because every child and family is so different. And the just the conversations and the learning and teaching that comes from each member and support, you know, we'll often get some really challenging stories and someone else might pop up and say, oh yeah, I've been there, this is what I did, you know, when it worked for me, and yes. And they can just support each other, and that's really where the real magic happens, I think, in group work.
And there's no need for parents to feel any shame in reaching out for help in the parenting space. You know, we kind of think we have to be experts, but and we think our situation might be we're the only people and this is only happening in my house. That group setting allows for some sharing of that, maybe some normalising of some of these feelings.
Yeah, definitely. And that's a common feedback we get in groups is, oh, I thought I was alone, or I didn't think anyone would understand. And so it is really that first starting point is the most trickiest, is saying that I need help and reaching out. That's the hardest part. But once we get there and you come into a space, you know, and it's a comfy, it's not formal, it's really informal and parent space that you can connect with others and really see that you're not alone. It's like you said, parenting doesn't come with a manual. We're all learning as we go.
Absolutely. Matt, I might just finish with you.
Yeah.
And what are just three really simple things as a parent you can do every day that helps support your child's well-being?
Oh, as soon as they come home, ask them how their day was. It's simple, but ask them how their day was. If they're having a tough day, let them know it's okay to come and have a chat to you. So that those check-in sessions that you have with them. The other thing I'd say is to let them know there's multiple people they can talk to. It doesn't just have to always be you.
Okay.
So to, you know, you've got family members, you've got people at school, so encourage the communication pathways of multiple people is really essential. Because, you know, we're at, in terms of our schools, they've got some really great people at the schools that are there supporting. So just let them know that they don't have to do things alone and remind them that constantly. It's usually when things happen, I guess more serious things happens when students have isolated themselves completely.
Okay.
So just, I think they're probably the couple things I'd say. Very simple things, but really effective things.
Thank you. Thank you both, and I hope that's some valuable information for parents in what is a difficult time, we'd have to say. If you would like to know more about the wonderful work of Catholic Care, you can find more information at catholiccare.dow.org.au. And the information we've talked about today is also available through our schools, through their communication channels, and you'll also be able to find it on the Catholic Education Diocese of Wollongong website. Thank you all. Until next time, bye for now.
The road may be strange, the journey unknown. Together, together, we walk each other home.